Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time that we can come together tonight. I just want to also thank you and lift up the people over in that side of the building, the men and women who are working with our kids, helping them to understand your truth, doing the best they can to communicate true principles and the word of God to unregenerate hearts they don't have parental authority over, so even more difficult. Thank you for their willingness to do that. And I pray for our time in here. I pray that this would be helpful and informative, help us think right about some of these things, and encouraging to us as well, as we just try to, together as a church, navigate the somewhat difficult waters of this culture that you have sovereignly placed us in to be your gospel light to this dark culture. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have been discussing the issue of homosexuality and into transgenderism. The last couple of weeks before last week, where I was not here, we discussed the fact that this is a unique issue, unique kind of to our time, different than any type of rebellion that the world has seen to this point. This idea of the fact that it goes even further in its rejection of God at the creation level than even homosexuality does. Remember, we talked about in Romans 1 that downward spiral of Romans 1, where a culture with a debased mind can go in its rebellion and storing up wrath from God. The bottom floor of that in Romans 1 is the sin of homosexuality. And that's kind of because when a culture gets to the place where it not only cares nothing for the law of God, but also passionately it does this, fights to reject God at the creation level, then it is a culture that is destined to destroy itself. It's going to destroy itself. And we looked a little bit more at the biblical passages last week that talked about God's good design in creation. This is kind of where we ended. In fact, I rushed, like I just clumped everything together really fast at the very end, some of this stuff, so I want to expand on it a bit more tonight. Talked about God's good intention with not just a different biology in the two sexes, but the different roles that God has assigned to each of them, which correspond to our physiology. The biological way he created us corresponds to the assigned roles that he gives men and women in Scripture, and we just kind of touched on that really quick last time. God assigned men and women different roles and responsibility that in no way are determinative of their value. That doesn't have anything to do with their value, but it's just evident in biological creation that he has these things in mind, and that's what we're going to be looking at again in greater detail tonight. So we spent the end of our time last time talking about the logical inconsistencies inherent in a transgender-affirming culture. We looked at the particular example in depth of men's and women's athletics because that's kind of where you see it the most right now. Now, it's impossible for the culture to affirm transgenderism and to still keep athletic events fair. It's just impossible. That's not going to happen. One of those things is going to have to give here at some point in time. So, and that's just the primary example. And I say it's the primary example because it's the one that you can actually read more articles about. Like, they kind of recognize this is an issue. How are we going to deal with this? It's the primary example, though, that proving the truth of Romans 1, that the society that rejects God when it gets all the way to that most fundamental creation level is doomed because it's living in logical inconsistency and it cannot survive. So if you remember, we looked at three articles that talked about different ways that science is trying to make transgender culture work with men's and women's sports, and they were each like about a year apart from each other, if you remember, and we saw how each article, as they progressed, essentially acknowledged that the thing that was established and said, oh, this is maybe what we can do, so the hormone therapy thing, like, we'll try this, and then the next article said, well, After 2 years of this, that's not working. We need some, and then so they established some other things, and the next article said, well, that's not working either. I mean, so we saw how each article essentially acknowledged, though, that this is an issue with no clear answer. That was when you read those articles, and you can go and read almost any articles on the subject. They tend to generally end some way like this. Well, this is a real issue, and something needs to be done about it. The end. It's something like that. It's just acknowledging, yep, this is an issue. Something's got to be done about it. But nothing can be done. Nothing can be done if the transgender ideology continues to be pushed to the level of a truth, what it is right now, a truth. This is a truth that must be celebrated and it needs to flourish. Then professional and collegiate sports will come to an end in the not too distant future. They're just going to. And praise God, it'll be less of a, you guys are so tempted sometimes to give your life to sports, and that can be an issue for me too. It's God's good kindness that he's going to use this sinful culture to destroy that idol for us one day. Quickly, last week gave my reasoning for why this is going to happen, but I want to build that in your minds. I want to pick that back up again and spend a little more time so you can see what I'm talking about. Both of the last two times, I got to a place where I wanted to talk about some of these terms and the terminology, but I just got to the last 5 minutes and I just threw them all out there for you. So I want to spend a little more time talking about some of the different gender identities and important gender vocabulary that you're, especially college professors, are expected to kind of have down by now. And I want to give you guys a chance to interact with it a bit. And I want you to know I got these from a popular health website. It's a health website. So on this website are articles about like nutrition articles, dieting articles, various exercises that you can do, you know, just a normal medical website, diabetes, what to do if you have, all of these type of things that you'd expect on a medical website. But then it's got this. And again, I'm not even picking out all of the terms. There's like 80 some terms, I think, just some of them. There's 80 or so other terms that it said were important for you to help you understand the gender spectrum, because that's how it's thought of now, the spectrum, like a wheel, like it can point anywhere on here, and you fall somewhere in there, and it's celebrated, and it's just weird. But then also there's another list that I didn't even look at all, but another 40 to 60 terms about different ways to describe your sexuality, which is different than your gender. Those are different terms. So as I go through these, keep in mind the narrative that each person's gender, the society's narrative is that each person's gender is essential. It's an essential part of their identity. So if someone's gender identity is absolutely essential to who that person is and how you must speak about them and understand them and that it must be celebrated, if that's what our society says, then just as I go through all of these terms, think about the issues that that's going to cause in society as we think through how a society can function. So just think of all the ways that these categories would make it impossible for society to exist in a coherent way. You can just bring it down to the level of athletics if you want, but there's a bunch of other ways out there. But think of all the systems that are in place in society that will be rendered non-functional if we embrace this fully, if we really were to embrace these things fully. And just so you know how new this is, the church has Microsoft Office 2016. My Word program is 2016. And pretty much every one of these terms gets the little red underline. Like, what are you talking about? And it gives me all these other, because it doesn't recognize this as real. I'm like Tolkien making up the different names of people that don't exist or something. It's the most red underlines I've ever seen. I think there's a few of them, like transitioning. That's a real word, but it just doesn't usually mean this. Microsoft Word 2016 caught almost every one of these as misspelling. So that's how new this is. So agender, not separate words, agender. Agender is someone who doesn't identify with the idea or experience of having a gender. So that's an agender person. And if you identify as agender, that's important to you. And you need to recognize, everyone needs to recognize, this is who I am, the gender. Aliagender, which is a non-binary gender identity that doesn't fit into existing gender schemas or constructs. Non-gender is not identifying with any gender, sometimes referred to as being genderless or gender void. That's someone who doesn't identify with the idea or experience of having a gender. And this is someone who's just not identifying with a gender. So they kind of understand what genders are, but they don't identify with them. They're gender void, is what it says. AMAB or AFAB, who knows what those are? AMAB, AFAB. This is assigned male at birth or assigned female at birth. So you can identify what you were in the past. Some jerk doctor just threw this label on you without your consent. So they would say, well, I'm AMAB, but I'm bigender now. I'm AMAB, but I'm agender now. So just so you know that that's where I was, because sometimes that's important, so that you can like be forgiving when someone uses the wrong pronouns on you. So bigender, that's where you identify as two genders, commonly, but not exclusively, male and female. Sometimes you feel like both genders at the same time, and sometimes you fluctuate. That's bigender. Polygender. Polygender is when you identify with multiple genders at once, sometimes also referred to as multigender. Androgyne, I think that's right. I can pronounce these however I want because they're invented words in the last 4 years. This term overlaps a lot between gender identification and presentation. It can be used to describe others as an identification. The term is used to describe people who are neither male nor female or are both male and female. Basically, anyone who does not fit into a binary gender category. So one of the suggestions for how to fix NCAA athletics is to have an androgyne, male, female, androgyne group. So anyone who does not fit into a binary gender category. It's the everyone else category. There's men, there's women, and then there's the everyone else group. Demigender, that's when you feel as if you are one part a defined gender and one or more parts an undefined gender. So terms can include demigirl, demi-boy, or demi-agender. So I'm partially someone who is, I'm at least a little bit someone who identifies as a boy. I'm at least a little bit someone who identifies as a girl. Or I'm at least a little bit someone who identifies with the idea of having a gender. Trans feminine, that's someone who identifies as feminine, but identifies as neither a man nor a woman. They must also be assigned a male at birth. So you can only be an ASAB, trans feminine person. Because what happens if you are someone who identifies as feminine, but doesn't identify as a man or woman, but you're a woman at birth? Then you're just like, you're really just a woman. So they can't use that. Maverick. A maverick is a non-binary gender that exists outside of the orthodox social bounds of gender. I don't know what that is. Here's a real word. Transitioning. I can't wait to be transitioning out of this section. but that's not what they mean by transitioning. Transitioning is the process of using medical means to change your sex or affirm your gender. So that's what, I don't know if you've noticed that. So as I was looking at some of these websites, there's advertisements for gender-affirming surgery. So it's, the idea is you can get the surgery that corresponds to make you physically the way that you believe you are, or the way that you have decided that you are. Novi gender, a gender identity used by people who experience having a gender that can't be described using existing language due to its complex and unique nature. Trigender describes the experience of having three gender identities simultaneously over time. This is an important term for you because this is what you all are. For laughing at this, you are all cissexists. You're participating in cissexism because you're laughing. Cissexism is a form of oppression that discriminates against those who are not cisgender. Cisgender is the term that they use to describe people who just identify that I am the way I was born. And so if you are a cisgender person and you are not comfortable with any of these other genders, then you're a cissexist. Cissexist, and you're oppressing them. Intergender. Intergender is a non-binary gender identity that describes the experience of having a gender that falls somewhere in between male and female. Neutrosis is the non-binary identity of people who have a gender that isn't exclusively male or female. So you notice something, right, in those? There's just like barely a change in words, and it just that sounds a lot alike. A lot of them sound alike. And then the other thing it introduces you to some new gender-neutral pronouns. So people who have identified as one of these gender identities also want to be recognized with different pronouns other than he, him, his, or she, her, hers, because that's sexist to only use those. So Z, here with an H-I-R, hears, H-I-R-S, Z, here, hears, Z, zeer, zeers, xe, xem, xears, X-Y-R-S, xears. Xe, xem, xears. So people who are bigender, so identifying as two genders, they use they, them, theirs to refer to themselves singularly. David Mott last year sent me advertisement for something that was going on at Ames where there was a person who wrote about why you should come and listen to this person, and they taught, I'd never heard this before, this person talked about themselves using they, them, theirs. It was so confusing. It was so confusing to read when they use those words. So I just picked some of them. That's about a seventh of the list of stuff. Some of them are just other different terms that are important in there. You know what wasn't on that list, though, was trans male, trans female. The idea was those are just accepted now, and we don't need to teach you about those anymore. Those are the accepted ones. Now here's the new ones that you need to get your brain around. And the article that explains all of these things admits that, yes, it could be a little overwhelming to see all this, but it's good for you to understand the spectrum. And the final quote is, just remember, gender is an essential part of health and well-being for everyone. Becoming familiar with language that helps you to talk about this part of identity in society is a great way to care for yourself and be an ally to others. So here's my question for you guys. If every person in our society, if our society must believe that what we just read is reality, and the only people who are going to question that reality are people who are bigoted or oppressive, so if that's the narrative that we're being told is the truth right now, where are all the places that you see society crumbling and unable to survive with that reality? So think in terms, especially of our culture's current obsession with the inherent good of diversity and need for equal representation. That'll help you think too.
Maybe obvious, but like clothing stores. You can't have a men and women's section.
Yeah.
Or like girls and boys.
Yeah, just one big section. But kind of expanding on the clothing thing, you essentially have to start to push the narrative or the understanding that there shouldn't be differences.
So clothing, when I go to the women's section, I know there's going to be a certain shape to those pants that might fit my hips a little bit better. And so it's not just that. It's like redefining what those shapes look like.
Yeah.
And so it will cause a lot of confusion and a lot of frustration as we're like, I just want my comfortable pants that I'm used to wearing. You'll have to figure out, well, what is the new label for this? And how are we calling this? And how do I make sure I have clothing that fits me and fits my... Because clothing sizes for years have been tailored specifically to men and women and the role that you play. If you look at men's jeans, even to this day, have certain little loops on them where you would hang your tools. Well, we need those loops now, because what if we want tools that is
stop being
totally
sexist. Well, maybe that's just regular sexism.
Yeah, so I mean it is way deeper than just like the clothing section's gonna look different. Like,
but
the design of clothing will have to change.
If you do a assigned female at birth section and assigned male at birth section, that's an okay way for you to describe, according to this, an okay way for you to describe yourself to someone else, so it helps them to understand you better. But it's not okay for you to continually see someone that way once they've declared who they are to you. So you can't have that in a, so yeah, even in a clothing section in a store, it's going to be like Ross. All clothing stores will be like that. It's just craziness, and you can't find your size or anything anywhere. It's just all been removed and messed around. Yes.
So what I was thinking kind of plays off what Amy said, but I think in general communication in our society is just going to be hindered. It's confusing just to hear you give us 1/7 of the list, and you're trying to figure out what you're talking about. We have no idea what you're saying. David gives you this email about this person who was referring to themselves in the plural. Communication's just going to go to pot.
I'm not sure if this is where you want us to go with this, but I feel like it's just going to lead to so much more ridiculousness. Like right now, it's about gender, and you can change your gender at will. You can identify however you want. But if you allow that and you celebrate that, then later, what's to say it's wrong for that man to suddenly identify as a child and want to have a relationship with a child? And who's to say it's wrong for your child to identify as an adult and they can make their own decisions outside of your authority? Or, I don't know, tomorrow I would like to identify as an unemployed immigrant who needs welfare, and like, who are you to say that I have to go to work and earn a living? That's not how I identify. I mean, that's ridiculous, but it's gonna lead to so many more disgusting things, because if we allow this, then why wouldn't we allow that?
That's great, and you just have to point back a few years to show that to be true. If you remember, that was the argument that if we cave to homosexual marriage, then we've erased the line and there's no end. And I think the example that Christians tended to bring up then, like 10, 15 years ago, was, well, what's to stop polygamy and pedophilia? What's to stop that? What's to stop pedophilia? What's to stop polygamy? And they're like, no, that's stupid. We'll never go there. And you see, there's arguments for polygamy right now. There's some people arguing for, not necessarily arguing for it to be okay to have children, adult relationships, but there are people who want to identify minor attracted people as a legitimate thing that we need to be aware of. Just back to Lauren's point, 10 years ago, when we were making that argument, we didn't even jump to the ridiculousness of, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, that's going to be something that society accepts. But since society's already gone to the end of the homosexuality thing in the Roman spiral, there's no stopping it. 20 years from now, that's God's mercy on us not knowing the future. Like 20 years from now, if we could see the type of stuff that Christians are going to be dealing with, that's coming out of this, I think it would just be like, lock the doors of the church, we're staying in here and praying for Jesus to return. That's all we're doing.
So I thought of two examples. One, what do you do with women's shelters, you know, for victims of abuse? You know, if the term woman is just open ended, then mm-hmm. that's not a thing anymore. And then second of all, healthcare just in general. So if you refuse to identify a patient as whatever they choose to identify as, or if you object to performing a surgery because it violates, you know, your beliefs, you know, your conscience, well, then you lose your job because you can't have one or the other. And I know that was a big push behind, like the Equality Act. I mean, the repercussions of things like that. But I mean, in healthcare, you know, that's the biggest one that I see.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. In the Hippocratic Oath, to do no harm. And if those terms are reality, if that's real, if we're going to accept that as reality, then harming someone means that you're not giving them gender-affirming surgery. You are harming them. If you have the ability to help them that way and you don't, it's the same way as if, you know, you're a surgeon and you refuse to give someone a kidney transplant or something. Yeah, the medical stuff is very important.
That just brought up something I wasn't going to say, was that there are, way off the beaten path here, there are unethical surgeons, I don't know if you guys know, that'll turn people into cats and dogs and aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That's been happening for years. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they end up, oh, I'm not happy, you know, but it's very hard to change the skull back into a human after they've been changed. But anyway, I was going to say, you know, you talked about their sexual orientation is very essential to them, you know, whereas we normal people, that's just a small part of who we are.
Cisgendered.
You know, you know.
Yeah.
Brad and I, you know, if that's where our marriage, it's but a portion of what our marriage is.
Yeah.
You know, but
for everyone,
people don't realize, unfortunately, I've met a lot of these strange people. And they're deviants, and they want to talk about their sex lives. I'll tell you a very sad story is Paulette Hastings discipled our lovely daughter, and Megan wanted to be a missionary to Haiti, and, you know, at one point in time, and, you know, had a heart for the Haitian people. But when she changed her life, you know, she ended up, Paulette went to coffee with her, and Paulette ended up telling me that Megan wanted to talk all about her sex life, her deviant sex life with Paulette. And Paulette tells her, you know, Megan, I don't want to talk to you about my normal sex life. We don't discuss that. Why would I want to hear about your deviant sex life? You know, but God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done.
Yeah.
I was going to just add, I have a secret sin. I like murder type shows. And
you like murder shows?
Yes, I do.
Investigative ones.
Okay, got you.
And there was recently a show on about a psychopath kid, 15 years old, murdered these people, and I won't tell you the details, but it was very horrible. And it was one that I don't normally want, but it was kind of interesting. But he told the investigators that they said, well, what was your first horrible thought? And he said, at 10 years old, when my mother brought her female lover into the house and kicked my dad out of the house.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually the case. You don't hear that as much unless you're actually talking to them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people who are in jail for some stuff that everyone recognizes wicked and depraved, they'll trace back. They started a deviant sexual sin and all kinds of, Paul says in Romans 1, unnatural.
Yep, yeah, Brad? I just wanted to say one thing. When you're telling me this, all these stories about all these different personalities or whatever, it almost seems like you're talking about characters on some science fiction movie or something. Mm-hmm. It's just totally bizarre, made up. I mean, it's real simple. There's two sexes.
Well, it is bizarre and it is made up.
Yes.
I agree with you. God agrees with you. Microsoft Word 2016 agrees with you. But it's...
But not the company.
But
not
yeah.
Dictionary.com.
But not the, oh yeah, not the company. In fact, they'll probably... If I write in and say, you're judgmental Microsoft Word, I demand a free upgrade. Yeah, they probably would. Okay. You can see where this type of stuff heads to, leads to. You can see that if you're going to say this is all real and your gender identity is essential to who you are, then that's what you're going to have people who feel like their main thing about them is their deviant sex life.
More perverseness and deviance in searches, like going through airport security. If I'm going to get patted down, I'd want it to be a male. If Rebecca was going to get patted down, I would want it to be a female. You know, future children and everything like that, but that would go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't do that. Some big old guy with long hair wig goes, I'm a female. That's not going to make you feel any more comfortable.
Yeah, I was just going to add, in terms of, like, society breaking down, they're already having issues with this in the military. A year and a half, 2 years ago, they did this big sexual harassment report that was focused on this idea of gender and problems with people who had declared a gender other than their biological gender, right? Made up this identity, presented it openly within their unit. And the military was struggling with this idea, you know, if that person now gets harassed, how do we deal with that? And they put together this scathing report that basically said everywhere in the military, this is problematic. It breaks down morale. It breaks down unit cohesiveness. It breaks down unit readiness. Mm-hmm. And one of the first acts that President Biden has undertaken as part of his new administration is he has forced down in every unit command, you no longer have a choice. You will deal with this. You will not only tolerate it, but you will embrace it. And the result has been some of the lowest morale scores across the entire military in recent memory.
Wow. Imagine telling like the tough drill sergeant guy, all right, here's a list of 70 genders. You've got to have this down. Make sure you know. Refer to people.
So she was talking crime. The other big part of crime is jails are separated right mm-hmm. now by gender. So if you don't separate a jail by gender, what's going to happen within your jails?
Yeah.
As well as just, I lost track of a professor that I wanted help from, just wanted to reconnect with, and she changed her gender. It made it very difficult to find her because she changed her first name and she's a they, them, there. And like, I had to go like searching through the internet to just be like, where, I know she's still at that university. I know mm-hmm. she's still teaching, but why can I not find this person? Mm-hmm. And so even just that sense of like, I could be a criminal and go change my gender, change my name. That's how do you, like Wes would probably tell us, how does a police officer look at a driver's license and know that that's who it is? It's male, female, height, yeah. weight, all those things. But if we can't have that anymore, any yeah. of those type of searches, if there's 80 different ways that I could refer to a person, mm-hmm. you're not going to find me because I can disappear yeah. within those 80 different genders.
Yeah, that's a good point. And one of the things I wanted to point out is that in emergency situations, even the most liberal person forgets about all of this. But if you're a woman who believes themselves to be a man, and you have a loved one there, and you are unconscious, and the ambulance pulls up, male or female, what she receives is dependent on what the doctor treats them with. You're going to say she's a female in that situation. And the same thing, if your store gets robbed and someone runs out, you're going to say, it's a guy dressed like a girl. That's who robbed my store. You're not going to say it the other way.
Josh, I'm hearing this secondhand, but Kate and Wes were sharing the other night with us that a missing person went years unsolved because the gender was not reported correctly. They found a woman dead. They reported a man missing.
Wow.
And it went years.
Yeah.
And It could have been solved much faster. Yeah. Now they probably won't have the murderer because they didn't get on it quick enough.
Yes. Human remains are cis-sexist, and they don't care. The prison thing, Kathy Walter shared this lady's presentation at Hillsdale College. She brought up the prison thing and said, hey, guess what we're finding? In the states that have made laws where the men in men's prisons, if they identify as transgender, can be moved to a women's prison, she said that we have hundreds of applicants. So criminals in prison, they're in prison because they're criminals. We're going to be like, you know what? I trust them to be honest about their they wouldn't lie. And we have to pay for their hormone changes. Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I think that this is real oppression. I'm feeling really oppressed right now because I'm like, it leads to all this confusion and all of this fear that you're going to cross somebody's, you know, you're going to cross their will or whatever. Because, you know, if you have to acknowledge everybody's gender, you can call you can call discrimination at any, anytime you feel offended. You just don't feel like they like you and you can, you know, bring them up on legal charges or whatever. I mean, the whole thing is, it's oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No.
If we have to do it everybody's way, everybody has to be worshipped.
I would just think that even the most liberal professor in a university, when they see more and more pronouns that they have to learn and they have to memorize with each person, if you look on this thing, you already see like the people who are trigender are upset that there's a set of pronouns that refer to them and like three other gender identities. We should have our own pronouns. And you see it just like it is in all of society. The more less you're represented, the like greater concern there is and the more of a voice you have. And so these people who identify as these weird ones that you've never heard of until tonight, they almost refer to like trans men and trans women as having it easy. And like, oh, they're just whining about stuff that's like, I wish I had it that easy. Society accepts them. They don't accept us novid genders yet. That feeling of oppression, I can't imagine being in a position where this is expected of you.
Yeah, and Christy reminded me of an article I read that there's 8 states that have passed legislation banning males from competing in female sports. There's 25 more states that are actually have it on the table. It is oppression to women by having these men compete, these non-gender strangeness. But it's sad this diversity through perversity has has really oppressed our women and minorities, people of color. It's a disgrace. And I really think this woke movement has really energized that to say, well, I want to be on that intersection that's the worst. And like I said, this diversity through perversity allows them to become a minority status, and it just strokes their woke ego. So,
yeah. Exactly.
Thank you. This is on the lighter side. I do paperwork and numbers all my life. Can you imagine the nightmare filling out a form when you get to that part, sex? How many blanks are you going to have to choose from?
Ugh.
You know, because there are people who go, well, am I male or female? And then if you have 78 more, you're going to be there all day just trying to get that one blank. But that's just one of my nightmares.
I agree. Forms, legal documents are long enough. We don't need all that stuff added. Yeah, Wayne?
Joining my current employer, I actually did have that problem. It was the first time I ran into the word cisgender and had to go look it up.
Yeah, see? That was good. That was good stuff. I want you guys to think through this. Because if this is really where we're going, if we're really going to embrace this as reality, as a culture, society cannot make it. Like things like the only way to go is to just go non-gender everything, right? Because you can't do 70-some places in a clothing store. You can't have 70-some different bathrooms. But what happens when you say to a culture, we've just got to function in a genderless way, that you've been telling the culture gender identity is essential to who you are? And that's why what we said about the last time, that one idea for NCAA, that lady was creamed on that for saying we'll have essentially an other category. So there's like 70 other, how dare you? You've been telling us this is in this article. You've been telling us this is essential to who we are. And we're just going to be other? You can't do that. Public bathrooms, you can't do that. That's not going to work. They're going to fall apart. Like, but Gary said the English language is not going to work anymore. Police descriptions, all of those types of things, the they thing. If you need a dictionary for just everything, just to read an article, like what? Who is this even talking about? Brett, can you imagine learning Hebrew and Greek with 70-some gender pronouns? No one would go into ministry. It'd be done. If you want to have any type of say in anything, you are going to want to find something here and identify, right? Like, that's going to be a natural draw for most people. Because in our woke culture, to have a voice, you've got to identify some sort of minority status. You got all of these things there. You're going to be looking for something like that. And so you're going to see people who are just regular old trans males and trans females being like, I got a feeling the pressure. I'm going to, you know, I'm also a trigender. You can see where that's going to go. And then if this is true, if you're going to believe that this is true, then what you're hearing out of the language from some of these people, it's going to make sense that you're going to give actually a lot of weight to what kids say and do. And when they're being stupid kids and they're doing like weird things that doesn't make sense. That lady in that video that Kathy sent me, she talked about a girl who sued because this hospital let her get gender affirming surgery without her parents' consent. Like, she wanted it at the time. And then about a few years afterwards, she's like, you know what? This isn't me. I want to go back, but she can't now. So she sued and was in England. You don't hear about it here. It was like a landmark case there, but didn't get covered here because it's inconsistent with the narrative. It's not working with the narrative. So if you see kids doing weird stuff as a parent, if you saw your kid playing with a Barbie, if he was a boy, not a thing that he's actually going to care about. He doesn't actually want to do that. Or you might be like, have you met G.I. Joe? My daughter Lana went through about a month-long time when she is, I think, about two, where she wanted to be a bunny at night. Like, she's like, I need to hop into bed as a bunny. And she would pretend to be a bunny and just act like a bunny. It was weird and kind of cute, but then eventually you've got to discipline her out of that. It led to disobedience eventually. Anyway, there was no time where I was like, maybe she is a bunny. We should probably think about some bunny-affirming surgery. What are we going to do with this? But you can see, can't you? Kids acting weirdly and parents like getting on that health website and being like, all right, what is this? What is she? Like, trying to figure it out at a young age and then trying to raise them and push them in that direction, and then only to have, when they get older and everything is messed up, they've been raised in some weird way, them being like, this. Why did you ever let me do this? There is no way our society can head in this direction and not just go into shambles. But Christy, to lift your spirits especially, because I think that's what we all feel, even though this all sounds like a bunch of craziness, and it does sound oppressive, you can praise God that the biblical answer that we need is simple. Having discussions with all of these people, we don't need to know all of this stuff, Nova gender or whatever. They can identify as any of these things. Even as the decades go by and we live in a society where everyone is claiming some form of combination of these gender identities, the biblical answer is simple. There are two sexes created by God, and God has determined what each person is. Everyone is not AMAB, a male assigned at birth, but they are either AMBFE or AFBMFE, a male before the foundation of the earth, or a female before the foundation of earth. Assigned that way. Assigned male or female before the foundations of the earth. We'll just say male and female like the Bible does to keep it easy. That's why, as we said last week, the two things that we need to be absolutely clear on is the creation account, which we've gone over several times, so we won't do that again tonight, and the way that God clearly identifies separate roles for men and women. So you remember last time I challenged you to find any Christian who's become an LGBTQ advocate who didn't first become an egalitarian, because you can't do it. Egalitarian means someone who says there's no gender roles. It's technically a Christian term for Christians who believe that there are two sexes, and it's good that there's two sexes, but there's no real difference in the roles that God's assigned them. But they will have crossed that line first. They have to have. We have to be clear on the creation account that we are biologically, physiology, two different genders, two different sexes. The second thing, the way that God clearly identifies separate roles for men and women. Our physical design is given to us to actually support the roles that God has given to us. So that idea that you're just going to jump right away to LGBTQ stuff without first deciding that there's no roles, that just doesn't happen. Because if you remove the answer for why God created it male and female, if you're going to go ahead and remove that, which is the understanding of roles, then it makes it much easier to minimize the importance of the question at all. Why does it even matter? Many Christians seem willing to have the LGBTQ conversation and argue against that ideology, but are less willing to speak up about specific male and female roles within the home and the church. But the two cannot be divorced. They are together. God created you male, if you're male, and that needs to be argued. And God created you for a purpose, and the way that that is fleshed out is directly related to the fact that he made you male. And if you're a female, it's the same thing. God wants men to act like men, and he wants women to act like women, and he has defined what that means, and he is clear that that is how he has commanded it to be, and he has created us to that end. So men will act like men, and women will act like women. So again, we won't go to Genesis 1 and 2 again. We've gone there several times, but we've established in that that is the foundational text that demonstrates God has a clear purpose and intent on creating male and female, and it is a foundation that Jesus goes to in Matthew 19 and in Mark also, when he is anchoring his teaching on why divorce is wrong. He says, have you not read, he created a male and female? But let's look at a few more places where there are clear commands in this area. Turn to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. As we look at some of these passages, keep in mind that the favorite tactics of egalitarians and feminists is to just take some of these specific verses, like the ones we're going to look at here. They like to take those specific verses, and they think that if they can just argue against what the LGBTQ community calls clobber passages, I've read that in their literature, the six clobber passages that speak against homosexuality. They think that if they just argue against those, then they can defend that it's okay to be identify however you want and still call yourself a Christian. But what we're looking at are laws, they're commands that are consistent with God's creative order and the flow of the biblical narrative. So throughout the Bible, we see men doing things that men are created to do and women doing things that women were created to do. And that is the consistent picture that we have in the Bible. And yes, there are examples of faithful women in prominent positions in the New Testament that were associates of Paul. Absolutely, that's true, but it's ridiculous to assume that these women that get brought up so frequently disregarded Paul's commands about men's and women's roles and were still called upon by him as faithful women. So Deuteronomy 22:5, this is a good passage to see. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord our God. So in that passage, you can see this is just consistent with everything we've talked about with creation. This is consistent with it. This is why God does this. There's a cultural understanding of what is masculine and what is feminine, and you are not to confuse the two. Men are to dress like men. Women are to dress like women. This is recognized by the whole LGBTQ culture also, right? Even though they don't want to admit it, how did Bruce Jenner show the world that he was now to be recognized as a female? Put on makeup, probably a wig, wore a dress. Because this is how femininity is recognized. There is an outward appearance of femininity. In fact, if you watch what they do, they make themselves look more feminine than most women in our church on Sunday. Not that our women don't look feminine, they do, but they like go to the next level. Like, how can I make myself, I need to look more feminine than any other woman out there? Because that's the way that they show the most clearly. Look at me, I'm to be recognized as a girl by outgirling all the real girls. So they wear more makeup, they have more feminine hairstyles, and wear more elaborate dresses than almost any other woman. That's what you see. They do the stereotypical woman the way that she would dress so that there can be no doubt whatsoever. The same way if you saw the actress Ellen Page. Elliot Page is what she wants to be recognized as. She immediately, when she came out, she had a short haircut, super short haircut, put on a baseball hat and started wearing a bunch of really baggy clothing because she understands that this is what masculinity needs to look like. This is a stereotypical male look, and I'm identifying that. And so you can see that she recognizes masculinity. In fact, she recognizes masculine clothing better than most 30-year-old megachurch pastors who seem to think that they should wear tight clothing. They recognize, even though they deny it and they hate it, they recognize the gender binary. They recognize that there are things that are definitely male and definitely female, and that's why they change their name too, right? They have to change their name, and it has to be something that sounds feminine. They don't change it to names that are shared by men and women. Got to be something really feminine, or it's got to be something really masculine. It's something that there's no confusion on. So you see that in them. Also, you see that in those definitions from earlier, right? So all of those definitions, they sounded really complicated and they were confusing and we don't like listening to them. But if you think about them, if you listen to them all, they're all just recognizing that they're deviating from two genders. Even the one that says a third gender, but there's not another one. Everything is either a deviation from masculinity or femininity or maleness or femaleness. There's not some other weird thing that they've got male and female as the foundation that they're building everything off of. So they recognize this. God says explicitly here in Deuteronomy 22:5, something that he has built into us. We know the difference between masculinity and femininity. We know it. They can't deny it. And he says to pretend that you don't recognize that and do that in the way that you present yourself is an abomination. We looked at what Paul said about husbands and wives in Ephesians 5. So let's look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 3. See what Peter says along those same lines. So 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verses 1 through 8. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Notice that Peter expects wives to be subject to their husbands, even if they're unbelieving husbands. He expects them to honor the male and female distinction in marriage, even if the husband doesn't obey the word. So the idea is that in honoring God's word as to what it means to be male and female and the roles of husband and wife, you will have a greater witness than if you do not. And also, just because that could be confusing with what we just said, Peter's not saying that they should cease presenting themselves as women outwardly. That's not what he's saying. When he says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, he's not saying look like a man. It's more like merely. Do not let it merely. The idea that why he uses that is because there's an understood recognition of feminine beauty and what women look like and how they present themselves displayed outwardly. Your inner qualities need to be just as reflective of that. You need to be more concerned about your inner feminine qualities. So you can see right away, right? If we are consistent, if our society and Christianity had been consistent on men's and women's roles and not let them get to egalitarianism and then go on, that why this would die, why transgenderism couldn't exist. Because Bruce Jenner does not seem to be concerned about adorning his hidden person of the heart with imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. When he says, I'm a woman, he doesn't mean he wants that. When he says that he thinks he has always been a girl, he only seems to be talking about how he should have changed his appearance. He's latching on to a worldly definition of what a woman is, what cultural definition of what a woman is, and not God's definition. Even though this is not a text on transgenderism in any way, rather it is more of a rebuke on women who have become too concerned with their outward appearance and have stopped caring about inner feminine beauty, yet it is still using the understanding of a delicate feminine outward appearance to point to having an inner feminine beauty. Notice he brings up Sarah as an example in the way she referred to her husband as Lord. Holy women adorned themselves, he says, by being submissive to their own husbands. This is why the understanding on roles is so critical in this argument. So if someone says, I'm a Christian and a trans woman, they don't have God's definition of woman in there. When you look at the so-called Christians who say that they are women trapped in men's bodies, are they really talking about the biblical understanding of women? This is why they have to get rid of biblical roles, because not one of those people means I've always had this inner desire to have a husband and submit to him. That's not what they mean. They're not talking about women's roles. They're not talking about women biblically. So no, you absolutely, for this and many other reasons, cannot be. We're not talking about the same categories when you say, I can be a trans woman and a Christian. Where are you getting woman from? So Peter is calling women to embrace their role as the helper that God created them to be, and he calls men likewise to embrace their role as men, to recognize their wives as the weaker vessel, to honor them that way, and to treat them delicately, because God created them physiologically different, and not just in their bodies, but also in their brains. The physiological differences extends there. He's calling men to embrace their roles as men, to recognize them as a weaker vessel, to honor them that way, to treat them delicately. That means you probably don't go home and tell your wife she needs to call you Lord. That would not be doing that. In other words, he says, treat your wife like you are a man and she is a woman. But notice also, even though Peter is clear, right, he's absolutely clear about distinct roles, he reminds them that they are the same value, right? He says, you honor distinct roles. You treat them like a woman, and you act like a man, since they are heirs with you. Equal value. There's no difference in value. Biblical rules have nothing to do with someone not being as good as someone else, with one gender not being as good as another gender. Just recognizing that God made us different, and he made us different for a reason. And so I watched a couple of debates today. I wasn't even in preparation for this, but that's where I always go. When someone is talking about male and female roles, the other person on the other end is like, so you're saying women aren't as good. Why can't women do this? Why do you think it's right that women are kept from doing, why? Like all of this, why should men be allowed to do something that women aren't? Why? It always goes to that and implying that one is better than the other, but different roles doesn't make one better than the other. God has made us physiologically different. Because I found it interesting, a couple nights ago on Disney Plus, we were watching a show called Brain Games. It's a pretty interesting show. Shows how the brain works, how it does different things, and it's kind of crazy to watch, and it should cause you to glorify God. But I was stunned when an episode came on, and that hasn't been removed yet, on the differences between men's and women's brains. I found this article on WebMD that just showed some of this stuff, but it says, our studies are finding significant differences in the brain circuitry of men and women even when they're doing the same thing. It's like two people driving from Philadelphia to New York who take different routes but end up at the same place. Regina Verma, her team has looked at nearly 2,000 healthy people, including kids, teens, young adults, took various tests of their mental skills, differences in their brain roadmaps. She says this can explain why males outperform females on certain tests of mental skills, while females have the edge in others. Huh. Women have more connections going left and right across the two halves of the brain. This could give them an advantage in pulling together information from different sources and drawing conclusions. The left half of the brain handles logical thinking, and the right is associated with intuition. That's why my wife can listen to all five of my kids and not go crazy and just like navigate that situation. That's what I'm using as an excuse anyway, and why I'm like, what's going on? Okay, you talk. All right, you talk. That's what I have to do. And men's brains have more connections from front to back, which may heighten their perception. They may be more attuned to what's going on around them so they can take action. Men have stronger connections between brain areas for motor and spatial skills. That means males tend to do a better job at tasks that need hand-eye coordination and understanding where objects are in space, such as throwing a ball or hammering a nail. In that episode of Brain Games I watched, it also explained that's why men are better at focusing on one task for a long period of time because of a similar thing. MRIs showed the biggest gaps between the sexes were the larger amount of gray matter that women had in the hippocampus, a structure that plays a role in memory, and the left caudate, which is thought to control our communication skills. Verma found that in female brains, there's more wiring in regions linked to memory and social cognition. So it's not surprising that women tend to be better at understanding how other people are feeling and knowing the right way to respond in social situations. So as you read those things, you can see, those things sound like men and women, if there's a creator, were created for different roles, to specialize in different things, and that they need each other. And what was also awesome in this episode of Brain Games, and this is why I can't believe they haven't taken it out, they did a test where they put, it was like a little cognitive obstacle course, and they put two men in an apron that connected them together, and one could use their right hand and the other could use their left hand, two women, and then a man and a woman, a married man and a woman, by the way, and the married man and woman were able to navigate it quicker and do it much faster. And then they were going to commercial. They said, this is an odd thing for science, because recent studies have shown that men's brains, when they're given the same tasks, are essentially functioning on the same wavelength. And so it should be working. And women are functioning on the same wavelength with each other. So they should be getting each other quicker. But men and women outperform male, male, female, female on a fairly regular basis in these tests. It's just awesome, right? The Bible confirms what is evident in science and just in observation, right? And we know this. We know they're different, but you just watch your kids. You watch them go on a hike. The boys pick up sticks, they're weapons. The girls pick up sticks, they're walking sticks, or they don't pick up sticks, or they pick up flowers. And that's what they do. And the boys make their weapons cut the flowers. That's what happens. Listen to this example. Nathan, Ava, and Ella were in soccer at Windsor last year. And then the way Windsor Rec does it is the first day, the kids get to pick their team name. So Nathan's on a boys' team, Ava's on a girls' team, Ella's on a girls' team. I'm just going to give you the names of the teams, and you guess which one is the boy team. The Blue Fireballs, the Pink Unicorn Dragons, or the Sparkly Mermaids? Which one do you think is the boys' team? Yeah, and Ella's team this year I forget what it is, but the dad of one of the girls is the coach, so I can see him just being, no, we're not the Sparkly Mermaids, because it's tough as a parent. Go, Sparkly Mermaids! It's just weird. So the Bible confirms what is evident in science and just what we observe, just what is natural. So you don't have to feel oppressed, which is what we all feel. This is a society that's running past the end of Romans 1. They're not speaking logically. You can speak to all of those issues just by affirming God's creation of male and female, and really importantly, we need to engage the culture also with the understanding of different roles. This is how we engage the culture. If you just make it about the physiology, which a lot of Christians are doing, and not the roles, you've already seceded so much ground. So we can't do that. We have to both of those things as we engage the culture. Let me close this. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this time where we can have this discussion. Lord, we are so thankful for the truth of your word that makes a crazy world make sense. And we can know our place, know where we're supposed to do. We can be clear on our mission, clear on our purpose as we recognize what your word has said to be true. And we can be even overjoyed as your word is confirmed through a world that's trying to unconfirm it. They confirm it in the way that they act, in the way that they embrace these things without realizing it, and in the science of the brain, and in just watching boys and girls and how they act. Father, I pray you'd give us boldness and help us to speak clearly and confidently and lovingly to a world that is so lost and confused. In Jesus' name, amen.